Amen. Bless the Lord. It's good to come to the Word of God this morning. And if you were here a couple of weeks back, you may remember I spoke on joy and mentioned a scripture found in the book of Jeremiah, which I said was read at my baptism. And I just want to read it to you again this morning. Although I'm not actually preaching from this verse today, I just want to pick up a theme that's running through this verse, something in this verse. In Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, it says this. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Now this verse tells us that the man who puts his hope and his trust and his faith in God is a blessed man. Or woman. It doesn't rule out women, just because the Bible says man, it's talking about mankind, not man as in male and female. So, any person that puts their trust in God, they believed on the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, and I love that word, in the beginning word of verse 7 says, blessed. It says that man is blessed, that person is a blessed person. You know, we used to sing a song quite a few years ago. We haven't sung it recently. But this song says, "I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day of my life, I'm blessed. When I wake up in the morning, when I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed." It's good to be blessed. But what I want to share this morning is, I just want to take that verse a little bit further. It says in that verse 8, it says that he will be like a tree planted by the waters, or by the river. That's what we were looking at last time. The river of joy. It said it spreads out its roots. And there is the theme for our message this morning. And I want to share three different roots that are needed, that's essential for you and me to grow. If we look in the book of Genesis, we've been doing a series of studies from the book of Genesis on the Eden blessing, the blessing of Eden. If you look at the Garden of Eden, you'll see in Genesis 2, somewhere around verse 8 and verse 9, I think it's actually verse 9, it says that God caused the trees to grow. God made the trees grow. There was no rain from heaven, so they didn't have the refreshing rain. But God made them grow. You know, it's God's intention, His purpose for you and me that we grow. God expects you to grow. And there's several times and quite a few verses in the scriptures which talk about growth. Talk about us growing up. Doesn't always use the word grow. Sometimes we have in the scriptures that we need to mature. Another way it talks about growing is to increase. One verse which we will touch on this morning, God willing, is where it talked about us being built up. Being built up, growing. Now when we talk about growth, I don't know what you immediately think of when I say it's God wants us to grow. Well, there's two main things that we can think about. One is that our personal growth, that we grow up into the things of God, that we begin to mature individually, that we learn from God and we grow to become more like Him. Personal growth. And then there's what you often hear in what we call church growth, where as we come together as a group of people, the Church of God, and As we grow individually, as we get more like God, then the church begins to grow as well. Not only does the church grow in spirit, but it grows in numbers. And it gets bigger and bigger. And that's growing, getting bigger and bigger. Now you'll know this verse, isn't it? Very well-known verse in the New Testament, and it's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, and it's found in verse 18, and it's Jesus talking to the Apostle Peter, and in this verse, he says to Peter, he says, you're blessed. Now why was he blessed? Because Peter heard from God. God speaking to him and showing him that Jesus was the Christ. And in that verse 18, it says, Jesus says this, it's a great promise which is often quoted by a lot of people. He says, I will build my church. I will build my church. In other words, he says, that I'm going to cause my church to grow. I'm going to build it. And that's how he does it. He causes us as individuals to grow up, to become more like him. And together we become strong. Together we grow. And when the church grows spiritually, then the church grows in numbers and gets bigger and bigger. And then we have to think about growing some more. It's important this morning that we understand it's this. God causes growth. God causes growth. The Apostle Paul. I'm going to read two quotations of the Apostle Paul from the Bible. And they both talk about God causing growth. In the first one, found in the book of Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes to this Corinthian church, this church which was a spirit-filled church, a church that was moving on in the things of God, a church that was physically growing in numbers and spiritually. And he says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do you know what he says? He's talking about planting seeds. Because when you plant a seed, or you plant a little, if you go to the garden center, you buy a little plant, you put it in the ground, that's planting. Putting it in the ground is planting. Then you have to get a watering can or a hose and water the things so they begin to grow. And it's supposed to say, I planted, then another teacher in the church, his name was Apollos, he said, he did the watering. But God caused the plant to grow. God caused the church to grow. And it says, he goes on, he says, it's not he who plants isn't anything. Nor he who waters, but it's God that gives the increase. It's God that causes the growth. And God will cause you to grow. You trust him, you put your faith in him, you put your roots down like that tree does into the ground. That's how plants grow, you know, they grow from their roots. They don't grow from the top, they grow from the bottom, they grow from the roots. That's where growth comes from. And that's what we're looking at this morning. No, the roots needed for growth. Then the other quotation from the Apostle is written to the Colossians. And it's chapter 2 of Colossians. And it's verse 19, this one. Paul writes, he says, not holding fast to the head. He's talking about people that don't stay hanging on with God. Not holding fast. He says, these people that don't hold fast to the head, from whom all the body... The church, talking about the church, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. See, growth is from God. That's where our growth comes from. Now let's look at these three roots that I'm looking at this morning. Now when we're saved, the Bible says, or refers to new Christians as newborn babes. Newborn babies. Now, we've just been away. We went on an aeroplane. When we came back, on the plane coming home, back to the to Nottingham, the East Midlands. We were sitting, me and Jane were sitting in one seat, and on the next seat to us, just across the aisle, there was a young family. A man and his wife and their two children. One of them sat on Dad's knee, but Mum was holding a little baby, just a few months old. Not many months, and this little baby, so small, so beautiful, big eyes, so dependent on his mom. And that's how, when we first come to God, that's how we come. We come like a baby, newborn baby. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby. It's great fun having babies. You know, when there's a new baby in the family, it causes so much fun. A lot of sleepless nights for the mom. But for those in the family, it's great. They love to talk, they love to show off the baby. And there's always visitors coming to see the baby. People want to see how the baby's doing. And that's great, you know, that's exciting. That's what it's like in church. You know, when there's new Christians in, it's like having a new baby in the family. And we get excited. You know, we like to see new people coming along. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's great, and it's the way God intended it to be. But if that little baby in 5, 10, even 20 years' time is still a little baby, there's something seriously wrong. If it hasn't grown, you say, well, there's something wrong with my baby. It's not grown. And then you take it to the doctor's. Why isn't my baby grown? Why isn't my baby learning to speak? Why isn't my baby walking? Why isn't my baby growing up? There's something wrong if the baby doesn't begin to grow. And I don't know whether I assume it's still the same thing. It's been 19 years since we had a little baby in the house. And Jane used to take Debbie when she was little, and Joe, every few weeks, and she had them weighed at the clinic. And they used to say, yeah, well, she's put on so many pounds this last week. And they monitored the growth. You know, and if a newborn Christian, a baby in Christ, is still a baby after he or she's been saved for 5, 10, or even 20 years, there's something wrong with the growth of that Christian. And it tells us that somewhere online that newborn babe, that new Christian, hasn't begun to put down roots into Christ. In 1 Corinthians 13, in that well-known chapter where Paul was teaching on love, it says, and Paul writes this, he says, I put away childish things, and I grew up and became a man. Now that's growth. He said, I put away the things that I used to do when I was a child. I stopped speaking the childish way, the way I used to speak. I stopped doing the childish things, and I became a man. In other words, he said, I grew up. And that's what God wants us to go do, to grow up. Now we're going to look at these three roots. Now I want to turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 8. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, we're going to read a parable that Jesus taught. And we're going to draw some lessons from this parable. Now you might not have ever heard this parable preached this way. I don't think I've ever preached it this way. I don't think I've ever heard it preached this way. But this is how the Lord gave it to me this morning. Luke 8, we're going to read from verse 5. A very well-known scripture, very well-known parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Now you know that parable, the parable of the sower, where the sower went out to sow his seed. The Bible says as he sowed, some of the seed fell onto the pathway, some seed fell amongst the rocks and the stony ground, other seed fell into the thorny ground, and some of the seed fell on good ground. If we read, just read again, this time from verse 11, this is Jesus now explains what the parable means to his disciples. And in verse 11 it says this, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So there Jesus explains the meaning of this parable in Luke's Gospel. Now what prevented the seed from growing? There's a question for you to think about this morning. What was it that prevented the seed from growing? Was it the way the sower sowed his seed? Not really, because some of the seed grew. He sowed it exactly the way he would do. He ran in his seed bag and scattered it. The things that prevented the seed from growing were this. One, it was all to do with the soil that it landed in. First one landed on the pathway. On the pathway, it will never grow. Because in the parable it says the birds of the air came and took the seed. The seed that fell in the rocks. It was the rocks that prevented their growth. Like the pathway, you know, there was little soil for them to put roots down. The seed that fell amongst the thorns and the weeds was killed by the other things growing in the soil. Now, if we're going to grow in the things of God, we need strong, healthy roots, which none of those three soils were able to allow the seed to produce strong, healthy roots. And in order for us to grow, we need to see completeness or fullness in those three areas. In these three key areas, sorry. One, the pathway represents the Word of God. In my message this morning. Now, in the parable it says the seed is the Word of God. But for the pathway, one of the roots we need is we need to be grounded in the Word of God. Now what the devil wants to do, he wants to come and take the word of God away from us so that we're not grounded in it. So when we hear it, we go, that's just a story. And they're calm and they're trying to snatch that seed so that we're not grounded in the word of God. The rocks, they represent fellowship. You know, we need to be together. And what's it say in this scripture? Said the ones that fell amongst the rocks, says they received it for a little while. They began to grow. They began to get excited. You know, these people, they received the word with joy. And then, as soon as some trouble hits, they've gone. Fellowship grounds us. So when time of trouble comes, we've got family around us. We've got people that can support us. Can't live on our own as Christians. We need other people to keep us stable. We've heard a lot about that word stable this week. We're talking about the government, talking about they need a stable government. And you'll hear that word over the course of the next week quite a few times, the word stable. And that's what we need other people, we need fellowship with one another to keep us stable in the things of God. It's a root we need to put down in God to cause us to grow. And then the thorns. The thorny ground represents prayer. We need to be strong in prayer. You know, when the seed fell amongst the thorns, it says here, then the people heard it, they heard the word, and they went out and they were choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And they brought no fruit to maturity. Prayer keeps us, keeps our feet firmly on the ground, if you like. Let's just look at these three roots then. The root of God's word. Now, I've already quoted the scripture in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, we must desire the pure milk of the word. That's what it says. That's what Peter writes. We need to desire the pure milk of the word so that we can grow, the Bible says. God's word is spiritual food for the spirit man. So as a spirit person, a spirit man, as a Christian, you need food to grow. You need food to grow in the physical. You know, that baby, if it doesn't have its food, if it doesn't get its milk, it doesn't grow. It doesn't receive what it needs to cause growth in its body. And God's word is spiritual food for our spiritual man. So that for Christians we need spiritual food. And God's word causes growth for the Christian. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the word of God this morning, because I want to look at that in a couple of weeks, two or three weeks' time, in quite a lot of detail. But we need God's word as one of our roots. Because the Bible says this. Again, we'll probably touch on this in a few weeks' time, but it says, all scripture, every word of scripture, this is 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. That means it does us good. Have you heard of the word prophet? Prophet. Talking about business, or when you talk about finances. When we talk about profit, it means it's making something. A businessman or somebody who's working must make a profit. If he's buying goods in and he sells them less than he's buying, he's not making a profit. If you're working, I don't know, as a lot of you do, you have to go calling. If you're spending money on diesel to get to a job, then you're putting in all the effort and you're buying materials to actually do a job. And you charge less than what you've spent out, you've not made a profit. You've made a loss. And God's word causes us to profit. In other words, it causes us to increase and grow. And how does it cause us to increase and grow? Well, it says God's given it. So it's the word of God. It comes from God. Don't forget, growth comes from God. God causes growth. It's profitable for doctrine. In other words, for Bible study. So that we know what we believe. So we can be grounded in, we say, yeah, well, no, this is what God's word says, and I won't be moved from it. It's profitable for reproof. In other words, to tell us off. When we go wrong, we need to be told off. God needs to say, look, my word says this. This, you follow this, you'll do right. For correction, again, to steer us in the right direction, to correct us when we're going wrong, to instruct us in righteousness so that we might live right, follow the right path. That's how God's word causes growth in us. And then it goes on to say in this verse, it's in verse 17, it says that the man of God may be complete. or may be perfect, or may be mature, or may have grown up, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So one of our roots is the Word of God. The second root we've got to put down is the root of fellowship. Fellowship with other Christians in the setting of the church is vital for our growth. We cannot be Christians on our own. Now you'll hear a lot of people say that. They say, well, I've asked the Lord into my heart, I can do it on my own, I can be a Christian at home. Well, you can for a couple of weeks. It's alright for a couple of weeks. If you want to grow, you've got to be together. You've got to come together. It's got to be the place where the church meets as a corporate body, because we encourage one another. We strengthen one another. And the church is a vital, fellowship in the church is a vital root, part of our growth. In actual fact, the Bible warns us in Hebrews not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Because it's within the framework of the church that we learn and we grow. We just turn to another scripture this morning. I won't be too long. Ephesians chapter 4. I know this has been read to us recently in our Bible studies, but in Ephesians 4 verse 11 it says this. It's talking about Jesus. It says, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Say that word edifying again, to be built up, or in other words, to grow up, that we might grow up. God's given us His ministry gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, that we might grow up, that we might be equipped, that we might be edified. Goes on in verse 13, says, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen to these words, a perfect man. That doesn't mean perfect, never getting anything wrong, but it means perfect, mature, grown up. What did Jesus say? He says, I will build my church. I will build my church. And what He's given us in the church is the ministry gifts of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, the teachers. Now, we can't do without any of them. We need all five of them in the church so that we can grow. You know, the pastor needs someone that he can learn from. We all got to grow together. You know, we do grow individually, but you're in the church framework, we all grow in together. We all need each other to strengthen us. But these giftings are given to teach, train, and equip the church so that they grow and become a perfect man, a mature man. Let's just carry on reading these few verses. That we should... verse 13, sorry, is to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself through love. See, God has set in the church these gifts so that we all grow. And that's why it's a root in our growth. We need the Word of God. We need fellowship with one another. The final root, and I really will be quick on this, I promise you, is the root of prayer. Now in the parable of the sower that we read, Jesus said that the thorns and the weeds choked the life out of the seed. And He likens those thorns, Jesus said it himself, to cares, riches, and pleasures of life. What are our cares? It's our needs. The things we need. That doesn't say that riches is a problem. It's the thirst and love for riches. That people are craving after these riches. That's what chokes the seed. It's not having riches. If we didn't have any money, then we couldn't live. And we've got to live. But it's that. And you know, there's people like this. That, you know, they seem to be working every hour to get every penny they can. And really, it doesn't do them any good. Because that thirst and that love for riches or money, as another verse in the scripture tells us, says it's the root of all kinds of evil. That love for money. That's a root. You hear what that is? It's a root, that thirst. We don't want that root. We need the root of prayer. And it says pleasures of life. And the people thinking that they've got all of the things outside that they can enjoy. In other words, there's one word, one Bible word, which encompasses all those three things. And it's the word covetousness. And we're told to keep away from it. We're told to not to covet. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. And how do we cope with covetousness? Well, we take it to the Lord in prayer. Things we need, we go to the Lord in prayer. We need riches to pay out, we go to the Lord in prayer. We want pleasures, well, go to the Lord. Now, we had this read to us last week or the week before. You know, in His presence is the fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know, prayer is always about requests and petitions. And that's how we're often we treat it. We say, well, we've got to pray. Asking God for this. Asking God for that. Asking God to do this. Asking God to... Yeah, that is prayer. But prayer is something a little bit more than that. It's about communion with God. It's about talking with the Father. Having that relationship with Him. Hearing what He's got to say to us. Because that causes us to grow. And when we have that type of relationship, that type of fellowship, that communion with Him, yes, then we know our cares and our needs are taken care of. We know that God will supply all our needs. So we don't need to worry about where the money's going to come from. Every pleasure that there is found in Him. And I'll finish with this thought this morning. You know, the devil is constantly attacking these three roots. Have you noticed? People don't turn up for the prayer meeting. They don't turn up for the Bible study. They stop away from church. And if you drop one, two, or all three of them, you're walking on very dangerous ground. Particularly where your life in God is concerned. You put your life in God in jeopardy when you stop praying. When you stop getting into the Word of God. When you stop fellowshipping together. That's why these three are roots. Roots for our growth. Because we need all three of them. And if we don't have one, or we don't have two, or we don't have any of them, our growth becomes stunted. And you know what happens when plants stop growing? They wither and they die. So let me encourage you this morning. Get into the Word of God. Not just at home, but at the Bible study. If you can't read, make sure you've got a CD or a tape that can speak God's Word to you. Get together in fellowship. You know, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. You know, make sure you're at every service that the church provides. Now there's a lot more we can do. You know, there are churches that do things all day, every day, 7 days a week. Now we don't expect you to be at every single one of those because we know we've got to go to work and we've got to go to school and we've got to do things. But we come as often as we can, we gather together. Particularly in church life, we only provide what, two services a week. Three services, perhaps, at the most. We need to make sure we are giving our effort to getting together. Because that's where we're going to grow. And then finally, don't give up on prayer. The word, fellowship, and prayer, these three roots, which will cause growth in our Christian life. Amen.